This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to our program for the first weekend in October. It's good to have you along for the WPGM Community Forum. We are talking today with Andrea Pollack. She is lead organizer for the group March on Harrisburg. If you are familiar with them, you know what we're getting into. But if not, prepare to learn about this organization, a nonpartisan group which works to clean up corruption in Pennsylvania government. Andrea is originally from New Jersey, but went to college in Pennsylvania and ended up in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and now she is in Lancaster, where she resides. Andrea, thanks for joining us on the program. Let me start with a question about just the group itself. What is it and what is the purpose?
So I don't know how familiar you are with March on Harrisburg, but we're nonpartisan, statewide, grassroots, and we've been around for 7 years now and just fighting to make bribery illegal and get money out of politics and build a democracy of the people in Pennsylvania. And so we have a whole different kind of slew of policy platforms that would do this. You might know us from like our gift ban campaign. That's pretty much our most popular, but we also are working on ranked choice voting in Pennsylvania. We helped pass vote by mail back in 2019 as well. So we have a whole slew of policies. Main purpose is, just putting, power back with the people, getting money out of politics, stopping corruption, and building a democracy.
Okay, and before we talk about some more of the specifics of the policies that you're addressing, can you give us a background to March on Harrisburg and a little history?
Yeah, so I mean, this was before my time, to be fair. I think I was 16 when March on Harrisburg formed, but I'll do my best to kind of give you the history. So March on Harrisburg was formed out of something called Democracy Spring. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it was a basically huge nonpartisan, push to get big corporate money out of politics. And this was in the spring of 2016. And so there was this huge long distance march that began in Philly and went to D.C. And a few of the, original members of March on Harrisburg met along this march and just talked about this idea that we could do this in Pennsylvania, right? We could do this at the state level. And so I don't know if you know Rabbi Michael Pollack, but he basically was in this warehouse after everyone had gotten arrested. And he was just hopping around and saying, would you like to do this in Pennsylvania? Are you from Pennsylvania? Are you from Pennsylvania? And that is how we formed. And then we officially started going, into action in 2017. That's kind of the story of how we formed. So we came out of Democracy Spring.
Okay. And your own involvement, how did that, was politics kind of on your radar, or was it something that maybe came up in college?
Yeah, so it definitely came up in college. I think from a young age, I've been political without maybe realizing it. I come from a family. I have a single mom who immigrated from Romania, and money's always been tough for us. So I was deeply politicized at a young age without necessarily realizing it. And then in college, I was a first time renter, and I was looking at, I remember my sophomore year of college, looking at my lease and just seeing, okay, tenants have these rights. Landlords have these rights, and then, slowly becoming involved in housing activism. And so I was a part of a student renters union when I was at Pitt, and we basically would workshop leases with other students. And so that was kind of my entry into politics. I wasn't doing anything when it came to, the state level, and I wasn't doing anything when it came to actual legislation, but I was doing a lot of local activism and, empowering other students to know what their rights are as tenants, and to kind of, know what our rights are as first-time renters. So that was kind of my entry point into, organizing and getting involved in politics. Post college, I wanted to do an organizing job. And so long story short, I saw, a post from March on Harrisburg. They were looking for an organizer, and then here I am.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, the nonpartisan nature of it is where you're coming from, but do you find people from a certain side of the political aisle gravitate to you, or do you have really a mix of people who are really concerned about the corruption?
I would say we, you know, we really, I think there's a lot of conversation, you know, right now, just especially since an election year, about how divided and polarized we are. And I think there's a lot of partisan conversations right now, just in political spaces. But I mean, we've been around for 7 years. We've been in all parts of the state. I mean, I think it was 1 year ago, 2 years ago, we did a barnstorming tour. We went to, I think it was 30 plus towns across Pennsylvania, went to Erie, we went to Pittsburgh, we went to Philly, we went to Bethlehem. So, I mean, we were all over Harrisburg. And no matter what part of the state we were in, I mean, red area, quote unquote, blue area, no matter where we were, people were in agreement. And this is a very, I think, unifying issue. So I would say we have folks that come from all different sides of the political aisle. And we find that, you know, money in politics and getting money out of politics and ending corruption is something that people really, really agree on, regardless of, you know, their political background.
Yeah, it's one of those things, I guess, a lot of people aren't, there's not many people that are going to say, no, I like the corruption. So you, it kind of, in, one thing that in this polarized age we can come together on.
It's a hard issue. It's a hard thing to justify and defend. Yeah,
okay.
For sure. It's just an indefensible issue.
And what are the different areas that you cover? I mean, you're kind of addressing different sides of things, aren't you?
Yeah. So, I mean, so we have our, I don't know if you've looked at kind of our policy platform, but we have 23 policy points. And so the way that they can be broadly divided is we have our money outside of our policy platform, and then we have our people inside. And so our money outside focuses on things like public campaign financing, things like shining a light on dark money, and then right now also prohibiting foreign money in our elections, which is the bill that we just marched for and we passed out of the full House. We also have things like, you know, ending per diem payments for state legislators, things like that, ending the revolving door, you know, ending side jobs. And we also have our people inside that focuses on, you know, allowing people to enter the political process. So we have things like, you know, having a ballot initiative process in Pennsylvania, automatic voter registration, ranked choice voting, you know, allowing all voters to participate in, you know, primary elections. So that's kind of how you can look at our policy platform. And I mean, there's a lot of things to work on, but right now our active campaigns are prohibiting foreign money in our election, stopping, you know, foreign interference. That's HB 2433, and then also ranked choice voting. And we have two bills, one in the House and one in the Senate.
And do you find a lot of people that are kind of interested in getting involved, but then are not so not that aware of what is going on, you know, behind the scenes with these issues?
I would say that, so I think there's like two answers to that question. So I remember vividly just, I've been thinking a lot about this barnstorming tour we did, I think, you know, it was about 2 years ago now. And I'll never forget, we were at a Unitarian church in Media, PA, and we had just done this whole presentation on, you know, the state of corruption in Pennsylvania. And at the end, we had opened up for questions, and this woman, she just stood up and said, you know, I thought this happened, but I had no idea it was actually legal. And so I think that's a lot of times the reaction that we hear is, you know, we know these things are happening. We feel the consequences and the impacts of corruption. But then a lot of folks, I think, don't know that it's actually legal, right? And I think specifically what's really surprising for people is the gift ban issue. And kind of the other part to answer your question is, I think at Marsh and Harrisburg, we kind of always say, like, we're always students and teachers. So people will come in, you know, we have a lot of folks that come in, for example, through our ranked choice voting campaign. And, you know, they're very maybe passionate about ranked choice voting. They already know the issue pretty well. But just by joining our ranked choice voting team, they're also being exposed to all of our other issues and learning about, you know, our other policies as well. So people come in and they might be really passionate about one thing, but then they are also learning about the other issue simultaneously too.
Okay. In the years you've been in existence, do you feel like you've made progress? Are there any areas where you'd say this is a kind of a success, or is the snail-like speed of Harrisburg kind of prevent you from claiming any big victories at this point?
I mean, I was going to say, so I think accountability and victory looks very different than I think we're usually told it does, right? I think a lot of times we're pushed this narrative that, like, you know, accountability is this bill passing into law. And I think we've learned through being exposed to the corruption in Harrisburg and just, you know, right, like you said, how slow things, you know, move there, that victory looks a bit different. I mean, over the last 7 years, I mean, we've marched over 300 miles. We've lobbied all of our state legislators many times over. I mean, we've conducted, I think it's like 40 direct actions, and just really built up a movement in our state that wants to get money out of politics. I mean, we've, you know, forced five House and Senate committee hearings on gerrymandering. We fully passed vote by mail in 2019. You know, we moved the gift ban out of the House committee twice, and we just had a huge win recently, which was the fact that we passed HB 2433 out of the full House. That was a huge win. These are all like tangible wins, but I think what I'm trying to say is that, like, it's slow in Harrisburg, and it takes a lot of people power and a lot of dedication and a lot of commitment for the long haul in order to get, you know, tangible victories like vote by mail being passed fully into law. So I would say that, you know, our wins are getting stuff through the legislative process because we've recognized how difficult that is, and also, you know, building up our movement organization and just changing the conversation in Harrisburg. I think that's been one of the biggest things. It's a huge win for us, is just exposing the depth of these issues. And then, yeah, just, I mean, the huge win for HB 2433 recently. So,
okay. And I want to mention now, and then we'll mention again at the end, but the website for folks to learn all of this, and all very nicely put together, I would say, is MOH for March on Harrisburg. So MOHPA.org. And yes, folks can check that out too. And we'll repeat that at the end if you missed it. But the name March on Harrisburg implies marching. And of course, that's not all you do, but you actually do literal, you know, walking, correct? Give me some indication of how that works.
Yeah. So, you know, we do actually, in fact, march. It is our namesake, and we do march. And yeah, marching is quite the thing. It's what we call our moving convention. You know, when we march, we walk and we talk with each other, and, you know, we're present, right? We're building up movement. We're making community. We're eating together. We're talking together. We're laughing together. We're learning together. So we just did a long distance march from Lancaster to Harrisburg. And I think this was our fifth long distance march, if I remember correctly. But yeah, we marched 35 miles from Lancaster to Harrisburg. And yeah, it's quite the thing. We do about 10 miles each day. And along the way, we, you know, stay at different churches or, you know, social justice organizations. We do political education. We eat together. We do fun things, like we did laser tag on this march. So yeah, it's just a time for us to build up visibility for our campaigns at the moment, raise up pressure. But I think most importantly, it's just about building community, getting folks connected with each other, and yeah, being present in a time when it's really difficult to be present. So
now we're here in Danville. We're about an hour from Harrisburg, but you know, what geographically, how can people get involved? Is it you know, one place you're gathering, or chapters, or how does that work?
Yeah, so kind of our structure, the way folks get involved, is we have chapters, we have regional chapters, and then we have statewide working groups. And so, you know, Pennsylvania is a big state, right? So we have folks all across. And so, you know, especially after the pandemic happened, we switched a lot of our organizing to Zoom. And so we have statewide working groups that meet regularly. For example, we have like a legislative team and policy team that meets on Zoom. We have a ranked choice voting team that meets on Zoom, social media team that meets on Zoom. So So that's one way that people get involved if they have a specific skill they want to learn or, you know, skill set that they bring. A lot of times folks will join like a virtual working group, but then we also do a lot of on the ground local organizing. We have 4 regional chapters, and so we have a Northeast chapter, Southeast chapter, Central chapter, and Western chapter. And so folks will join that way and organize locally there. For example, you know, this Wednesday we're doing a happy hour as the Central chapter in Harrisburg. And so we also do in-person events pretty regularly and organize in person regularly.
And I think the use of Zoom for things like this is one of the few benefits the pandemic left us. Because
no, it's, I mean, it's really great. And it's also super accessible for people, and it allows us to really organize 24/7. And you know what I mean? We don't have to just wait to be in person to do things. We use Slack and we use Zoom, and we're able to communicate, you know, constantly doing that.
Okay. And Pennsylvania, I mean, are other states dealing with this on their, you know, on their own level, or is Pennsylvania kind of a standout mess, I guess you could say, that, you know, that you have to exist? I mean, do you have any idea of comparisons with other states and, you know, how those citizens are dealing?
Yes. So we're pretty bottom of the barrel when it comes to money and politics and democracy work. There are definitely other states that are working on, you know, anti-corruption, pro-democracy work. We worked with a group called Free Speech for People this year for our HB 2433, which is our bill that basically would stop foreign influence in our elections in Pennsylvania. And they're focused on, Free Speech for People is focused on legislation in a bunch of different states. I mean, they have legislation that's in Hawaii and Maine. But I would say when it comes to money and politics and corruption itself, we are, again, really bottom of the barrel. I think it was a poll that was done by the Electoral Integrity Project back in 2020, ranked Pennsylvania, I think it was 42nd out of 50 states, you know, on these different metrics of electoral integrity. And so they, I think, included things like electoral laws and procedure, you know, campaign finance, media coverage, district boundaries. So, you know, we're pretty bottom of the barrel when it comes to that. And there was also, I think, another poll that was done, or investigation that was done. It was the State Integrity Project, or State Integrity Investigation. It was conducted, I think, by the Center for Public Integrity. And that was in 2015. We received an F from them. And that study, I think, focused more on ethics and accountability, kind of like public access to information and transparency. So I would say, you know, Pennsylvania is definitely one of the most corrupt and least democratic states in a country that was, I mean, downgraded from a democracy to a flawed democracy, based on the economic, you know, intelligence unit, I think it was in 2016 when they did that democracy index report. So pretty bottom of the barrel. And kind of a big aspect of our work has been just proving to the national democracy space that Pennsylvania, change in Pennsylvania is possible. Because we're so bottom of the barrel, we found when talking to other, you know, democracy groups at the national level, you know, there's, I think, not as much pull in Pennsylvania, but, you know, there, people look at Pennsylvania and think, oh my gosh, things are so corrupt there, change is difficult. I mean, we don't have a ballot initiative process, but part of the work we've done is proving to these national groups that, you know, if change in Pennsylvania is possible, yes, we are really bottom of the barrel when it comes to these anti-corruption, pro-democracy issues, but we need to show people that change is possible here. So that's been a big aspect too, is just kind of proving to the national space that, you know, Pennsylvania is not a lost cause, so to speak.
Okay. And in closing, we have just a few moments left, but can you tell people what they need to do to get involved and, you know, repeat the website for us?
Yeah. So our website is mohpa.org. And if you go to our website, sign up, get organized, there is a tab, I think, right when you click on our website that says take action. And it'll take you to a form. Please fill out the form. It'll ask you things like, how do you want to get involved? What are you passionate about? Is there a specific, you know, policy that you want to work on, and then from there, you know, we'll get in touch with you, and that's how you get involved.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.